Let us turn now to the Word of God. We are reading in the Scriptures from the first book, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, reading verses 27 to 31. It's on page 3 of the Pew Bibles, and most of them, very first page of the Bible. Hear the Word of God. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. Here ends the first reading. The gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 8, reading from verse 1. It is on page 788. Of most of the Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 8. We continue to hear God's word. Soon afterwards, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell in the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while. Then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell in the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. Thanks be to God for these readings of his holy word. May he add his blessing to them, and to him be all glory and praise. Amen.
Isn't it just the case that it takes a situation or an event to bring us sharply into focus about what's going on around us and in the environment we live? Natural disasters such as earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, hurricanes, for example. This year so far, we've been introduced and become familiar with the names of Alberto, Beryl, Chris, Debbie, Ernesto, and just this week, Hurricane Florence, which is currently hitting North Carolina in the US. They may be only a name to us, but these named events, hurricanes or tropical storms, have resulted in devastation to families, loss of life, homes, and livelihoods. When most of these disasters happen across the world, in what feels like a million miles away from my home, I somehow don't feel responsible. Yes, I grieve for the families and communities destroyed, but it's all too easy to pick myself up and get on with my life, because mostly these scenes are happening in what feels like someone else's world, not mine. Of course, there were lives lost in the UK and in Scotland in the early part of this year too. Animals freezing to death, crops destroyed, generally things ground to a halt late February, early March, if you can remember, because we experienced some of the worst episodes of snowfall for probably 6 to 7 years, maybe more. It's heartwarming though, because people are just a wee bit kinder to each other, a wee bit more considerate, helpful and generally concerned at times of disaster. Talking to and taking strangers in, working together. I was unfortunate enough to be stuck on the M80 when we had the February snow. I had mixed feelings. The road was like a car park. Nothing was moving at all. We'd already been stationary for hours. And under the circumstances, I started getting very bad thoughts. It was cold, I was hungry, a big bit scared, and it was starting to get dark. All of a sudden, a young chap stuck his head through my car window and offered me a cold sausage roll and 2 cans of Iron Brew. That act of kindness and his subtle way of saying, "I'm here for you. We're all in it together." So if you drift away from the sermon, then at least you've got something cute to look at. But I completely understand. In the meantime, scientists are worried about freezing temperature, questioning if the Beast from the East is a one-off event. And I'm questioning, what is the polar vortex anyway? It's all far too confusing for me. Apparently, there's a heat wave in the Arctic, and well, even I know that doesn't seem right. No sooner had the extreme weather passed, and we're all bringing out our patio furniture, bringing out the garden furniture, because in June and July, we're seeing the hottest summer on record in Scotland for a long, long time. All joking aside, our text this morning from Genesis brings us back to how it all began. God created the world and everything in it out of nothing. Absolutely nothing. He carefully planned it, attending to every detail and complexity, and then he put us in charge. The text tells us that. God gave us his creation. God has put us in charge of it. The world, the life on land, life underwater, everything. So how are we doing so far? Some statistics. Over 800 million people still live in extreme poverty. Just over 6 million children still die before their fifth birthday each year due to poor living conditions, poor health, or malnourishment. HIV is a leading cause of death for women of reproductive age worldwide. Just under 2 billion people globally use contaminated drinking water. And 900 million people still live in slums today. Of the 8,500 animal breeds known, God created by God and given to us, 8% are extinct and 22% at risk of extinction. Now, I might be giving my age away next, but anyway, I'm happy to do that. I can just about remember TV coverage in 1968. Just about remember that. And it was Christmas Eve when the three Apollo astronauts made their first trip into orbit, to orbit around the moon. And as they celebrated this most amazing scientific achievement, they read from the book of Genesis, no less, and commented that from their viewpoint, Earth never looked so beautiful, so mysterious, but so very, very fragile. And can I suggest that for most of us, the more we stop to gaze in amazement at God's creation, there is a dilemma for us because we realise that human actions are constantly destroying God's handiwork. God loves the world so much, planned it, built it with such care, with such attention to detail, with such love. But still, as we read in verse 27, he put us in charge. Perhaps the only way to restore and maintain the world is to recognise the human impact, to stop the human impact and reverse what we can. This requires a serious evaluation of our lifestyle and the things that are important to us. In my younger days, the invention of plastic was just amazing. The way people used it innovatively changed the way we lived in these days. Nowadays, we can't do without it. And yet, we must, because it's causing serious damage to our planet, especially our sea life. There's something in the media every single week about that. Our text reminds us that we were created in God's image, making us to be like him. Volumes have been written about this marvellous, marvellous act of God. I'm always overwhelmed by how central this event, this act of God is to how we understand who we are, how we live and interact. And the original intention of God making our world. Yeah, we're created in the image of God, so there is something of God in each and every one of us. That's mind-blowing. How can we fathom this out? The idea that we are so fragile, finite beings, but we're also like God. I think that there's many ways to approach this. One way for us to consider would be what literally is God doing in Genesis. If we can see what God's doing, we will have at least some idea of what he's expected us to do. Of course, the immediate answer is quite simple. God is creating. But when we look at the text in more detail, how is God creating? Then we can perhaps get a clue. As stewards, we need a clue how to do it. Because we are now in charge of his project. He starts with an idea, he has a plan. We know from what's written in Genesis chapter 1 that there's an order of things. So firstly, God has a feeling about his creation. It's not just an idea. He's moved to do something. He has a feeling, an emotion around it. His making of the world is rooted in God's passion, love and caring. Compassion is key here. We talked about it last Sunday. We're talking about it today. Compassion is central, as we know, to Jesus' ministry. So secondly, God takes action. Creation is an act, and sustaining the world is a continuous act for us. The Genesis story certainly does give us a very clear understanding of what us being put in charge actually means. God has an image, he reflects, he plans, he feels, he loves, and he cares with passion. And God moves and acts in history. Okie dokie, no pressure then for us. We do have the right basic abilities, don't we? We do have all these things. We're the ongoing co-creators of our own history, some of it for good, some of it that creates harm for ourselves, for others, and our planet. We know that already because we read it often. We see it. It's there. We are to rule this earth as God's ambassadors in the way that he would rule. Not so easy. Good stewardship is what we were created to do and called to do in a way that God did in the very beginning. To care for this most precious and fragile gift of earth. We must learn to see the world as God sees it. The United Nations has a 2030 agenda. Just wanted to speak about that for a couple of seconds. An agenda for sustainable development includes 17 goals. You can look it up if you've got time later on or during the week. The main themes are ending extreme poverty. We wouldn't disagree with that, I'm sure. Fighting inequality and injustice. I don't think we would argue with that either. Tackling climate change. We've already spoken about it this morning. 17 global goals to achieve these three extraordinary things by 2030. It's only, 12 years away. Can we do it together? If you're like me, then there's a few things up there that you're more passionate about than others. Life on land, life below water, peace, justice, industry, innovation, good health and well-being. There's something there for everybody to get involved in. Something that we can sign up to. We can take a small idea and make a really, really huge impact in our own communities. God's creation, our planet home, was created to flourish with humanity, not in spite of it. We saw earlier some material from Christian Aid Harvest Appeal. The story of Aster and our sisters in Ethiopia is inspiring. They're bringing renewable technology to their community, financial stability to to their families and a sense of pride and hope to each other. They're powerful women bringing about change. In our story in the Gospel of Luke, the women around Jesus didn't just accompany Jesus at that point, but they provided for his mission out of their own resources. They shared their gifts and were part of an active inner group bringing about change. In stark contrast to many accounts where women and men are both involved, it's the women who are named. Throughout Luke's gospel, women's efforts are often celebrated and called to the centre. Equally, this year's Christian Aid Harvest project celebrates that strong, empowering spirit of collaboration and partnership. Together, we can make change for good. And just a final thought about our reading from Luke. It works perfectly with our harvest time and offers us some new insights into the very pressing challenge to any harvest: climate change. The events of natural disasters, the Hurricane Florence events and stories told by our most vulnerable sisters and brothers like Aster and her family, tell us about the impact of climate change in our world. These seeds of wisdom are sown. Some are trampled by our race to move things, more travel, more throwaway convenient options, more plastic. Some seeds are choked by corporations, commercialism. And then there's the seeds that hit the good soil and they grow. It's the seeds of our wisdom and our acknowledging of God's reliance on us as Earth's caretakers that hit the good soil. So we can celebrate. And we can. Look here. Look here. Amazing acts of kindness, thoughtfulness, compassion. But this isn't a one-off event for this church. Food bank donations are brought every week. Very soon there's the shoebox appeal and then the annual Christmas hampers. And Stuart was telling us this morning about £900 fundraised on Friday. Just outstanding, amazing. Working together to make a difference at Burnhead. Good stewardship is what we're created for and called to do in a way that God did at the beginning, to take care of this most precious and fragile gift of earth with ideas, with planning, feeling, love, compassion and actions. We must learn to see the world as God sees it. So today, what small thing can we do to make that change to our precious environment, God's gift to us? Jesus issues throughout his Gospels a call for us to come and do it with me, stand together, journey together, work together. We can produce a good harvest together. Amen.